have anything you want to say before we read some scripture and speak to you for a little while? Well, again, we're glad to see everyone. I didn't ask, do we have any first-time visitors with us today? Anyone who has never been to Fairview Memorial before? Anyone at all? Okay, well, we are always glad to have first-time visitors, but we're always glad to welcome everyone back the second, third, and fourth time as well. If you have your Bible, I would like to invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 19 through 27. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 19 through 27. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it will truly be for our good and for his honor and glory. Those of you who were here last week, you remember that I said I would like for this year for us to focus especially upon people being saved. That's still my desire this morning. I want to see people get saved. And I'm going to use as my subject title a phrase that is taken from that 25th verse that I read in your hearing. My subject title will be Saved to the Uttermost. Saved to the Uttermost. Now, the lesson that I read today presented a contrast between the priest of the Old Testament who lived under the law and the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our high priest under the covenant of grace. And there was a change, you know. The old covenant, it could not make the comers thereunto perfect, the Bible said. Those priests, they administered And they were representatives of the people before God, and they were representatives of God to the people. But it was only in things pertaining to the ceremonial law. They did not represent the people as far as the plan of salvation was concerned. But the Lord Jesus, He is, the Bible says, and let me read this verse to you from chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. And he is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man." And Jesus, He represents us before Almighty God, and He represents God to all of us, for Jesus was God. And I want you to think about this just for a few minutes of time. In the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 17, those priests under the law, they were called ministers of the Lord. And they did minister. And they ministered in the things related to the ceremonial worship that they had. But they never presented God or anyone to God or man in the plan of salvation. But the Lord Jesus, this man, I want you to think about this man in verse 24 that I read in your hearing. This man, let me back up a minute. Those priests that ministered under the law of Moses and that served in the tabernacle and that made the, you know, the sacrifices and offered them. There were many of them. Many because they were men and they died just like all other men do. But this verse said, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." Now the Lord Jesus, He represents God on this earth. And He did when He lived here in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. But He also represented us to God. And I say that because of what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I believe starting at about verse 3, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe I need to go there and read that for our benefit. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. I might as well start at the beginning. "I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercessions be given for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Now listen. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So the Lord Jesus, He is the great high priest with reference to salvation. There is only one God And there is only one mediator between God and man. He represents men before God, and he represents God before men. And the purpose of all this is that men and women, boys and girls, might be saved. And the Bible said that it said that he gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now let me look at that again and read it, because I don't want to misrepresent it. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, I want you to pray for me as I try to speak to you for just a little while. I know there's a lot of confusion in the world about how to be saved. But this lesson that I read in your hearing, it tells us how to be saved. It tells us the way that one can be saved. It tells us how it is accomplished. And it tells us what benefit men receive from being saved. So I want you to just think with me just for a little bit about this. If you ask the religious world today what you must do to be saved, well, for the most part, they will tell you, well, you just accept Christ and then do the best that you can, you know. Live good and do good, and everything will be all right, you know. If you ask an atheist, you know, what do you think about God and about salvation? He'd say, oh, there is no God, and there's no heaven, and there's no hell, so you don't need to worry about it, you know. There's no judgment, so you just don't have to worry about it. You know, just do whatever you want to. Live like you want to, and forget about the idea that there's a God to whom you must give an account. Now, that's the answer that an atheist would give to you. If you ask the Apostle Paul, Paul, would you please tell us what a person has to do to be saved? Well, Paul told the Philippian jailer. He came trembling before Paul, and his question was, what must I do to be saved? And the Apostle Paul answered and said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That means that if your household believes on Jesus, they'll be saved too, you know. And if you ask Jesus what you must do to be saved, Jesus would say, as he did to Nicodemus, he would say, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And so, there's a lot of confusion in the world. But there's no confusion when it comes to the Bible. The Bible sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only mediator between God and man, who gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that whosoever will would have an opportunity to be saved. So I want you to think about that with me for just a little while. Now, this verse tells us the truth. It says in verse 25, let me back up to 24. But this man, now Jesus was a man, but he was God. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was not born, as other men are born, because Jesus had no earthly father. God was his father, and he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. not of the seed of man. And so when he was born, he did not have the sinful nature that all of us have. And so he was able to live a sinless life, a perfect life. In him was no sin, the Bible said. Because he had no sin and because he was God, he is from everlasting to everlasting. He had no beginning and he had no ending. He was with the Father in eternity before the world was created. And when the fullness of time was come, he came to this world. And he manifested himself as a man. And he lived among men. And he made the one and only sacrifice that will satisfy God for sin. Now under the law, those priests, they had many, many different sacrifices that they offered for many different kinds of sin. But the Bible said none of those sacrifices could take away sin, because it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats and of heifers to take away sin. But the blood of the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary, can take away sin. And it does take away sin. Now, the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 2. It says, we have an advocate with the Father. That is one who represents us in the presence of the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That means that he became the sacrifice in our behalf that would make things right between us and God, because Jesus died in our stead. He was the substitute. He came to give his life a ransom. He paid the ransom price so that sinners could go free. Now, having said those things, they said this man, because he hath an unchangeable priesthood. It says that, wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By believing in the Lord Jesus and trusting in the Lord Jesus and trusting what he did on the cross of Calvary as being sufficient to save. And that's the only thing that will save. He shed his blood. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Now you could not buy your way into the kingdom of God. You could not earn your way into the kingdom of God. Salvation is by grace. It's through faith. It is offered to the human family. You can have salvation. You can be forgiven. You can be justified. You can have a right standing in the eyes of God because you have come to him through the Lord Jesus. And it is the blood of Jesus that avails. It is not the works of righteousness which we do, but it is according to his mercy he saves us. It is by the washing of regeneration, that is being born again. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost that we become children of God. And so he's able to save. To save from what? To save from what? Well, the Lord Jesus can deliver us from the danger that we are in as an unsaved person. There is a danger. You know, the Bible teaches us those who are not saved are in danger of the judgment. They are in danger of punishment God has us prescribed. Now, I want you to think about this. I don't mean to confuse anybody, and I want to be plain. And I want the Holy Spirit to help me. And I want the Holy Spirit to open the hearts of those that are with us today. I want God's Holy Spirit to work in our midst and make the truth understandable and make the truth real so that people will see their need of God. Now, I want you to think about this just for a minute. When the Lord saves, He rescues. Now, the Bible tells us, you know, that we're all born sinners. And as such, we are under the just condemnation of sin. But, you know, Jesus said in His message to Nicodemus, He said, the Son of Man came not to condemn, but He came to save. He said that men were already condemned because we are sinners. Already condemned because our sins have not been forgiven. Our sins, we're responsible for our sins. And they must be forgiven, or you must pay for them, one of the two. If you're never forgiven, you'll have to pay for your sins. Your sins will go with you to the grave. If you don't get forgiveness, you'll live out your life. Even if you lived as long as Methuselah did, if your sins have not been forgiven, when you die, they'll go with you to the grave. And you'll have to pay for your sins. But God fixed it. Fixed a plan of salvation where you could get forgiveness. And Jesus agreed to come and to die for you. And to pay the ransom price so you could be free from the guilt of sin. And so He came to rescue you. When it says that He came to, wherefore He's able to save to the uttermost, that means to the farthest extent. That means that the salvation of the Lord will meet every need that you ever had or that you'll ever have. The Lord Jesus, He rescues from sin. He delivers us from the prison house of Satan. Did you know that Satan holds sinners bound in his prison house? They cannot get free by themselves. They must be rescued. Only the Lord Jesus can set a sinner free from the bondage of sin. Nobody else can. There's just one way. I say this often in my efforts to preach. There's just one way to the pearly gates, to the crown of life and the friends who wait. It's the old crossroad or the way called straight. There's just one way to the pearly gates. And so He can deliver us from the prison house of Satan. He can set us free from the condemnation and the guilt of sin. And He can give us peace with God. The Bible said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And only the Lord Jesus can do that. He can save to the uttermost all that come to God through Jesus. That's the one way that the Bible presents. In every way, He can save to the uttermost. In every way, He can save. For every day of your life, He can save. And as long as you live, He can save. It is to the uttermost that the Lord Jesus provides salvation and redemption for the human family. He saves the soul. He saves the spirit. And He saves the body. Do you know the Bible has promised full and complete redemption for the human family. He saves our soul in regeneration when we're born again. I tell you, He delivers our soul from sin and death. And He seals it unto the day of redemption. The very moment that you're born again, the Lord puts a seal upon your soul. It belongs to Him. He knows you and you know Him. And you have the assurance in your heart by the Holy Spirit that your soul has been saved. And then every day He keeps you saved. Every day that you live, He will keep you saved. There is nothing that you can do. You know, I read in Romans chapter 8, where the Bible says, who can separate us from the love of God? He said, can tribulation or persecution separate us from the love of God? I'm going over there and read that. I used to could quote it. I can't now. But I can read it. So I just turn there. And I want you to notice, in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I'm preaching to you today, He can save to the uttermost. There is nothing that can separate a child of God from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He said, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep to the slaughter. But He said, it's not true. People will look at the suffering and the persecution of the saints in the years past and gone, how they stood and gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And they said, they're foolish. They're just like sheep that are headed for the slaughter, to be killed. But He said, nay, it's not so. He said, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, folks, more than conquerors is being saved to the uttermost, ain't it? That's being saved to the uttermost. He saves the soul. He seals the soul. He keeps us saved. And then, even though we're born to die, Jesus said, you know, or God said to Adam, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That part of man that came from dust is going back to dust. But when Jesus comes again, the second time, in the clouds of glory, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, accompanied by all the holy angels, the Bible says that the dead are going to rise. Those that have gone back to dust, they're going to rise. The Bible said, we're sown in weakness, but we'll be raised in power. He said that our bodies are sown a natural body, but they'll be raised a spiritual body. He said that this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to put on immortality. And he said, when this takes place, he said, then it will be, the saying will be brought to pass that death is swallowed up in victory. I tell you, Jesus saves to the uttermost. If you are saved, my friend, you can have the assurance and know that when you die, you're going to heaven. Your soul will immediately go to heaven. And if you should die physically and your body go back to dust, Jesus will raise it from the grave. And He'll raise it a glorified body. And so, He saves in every way, to the uttermost, all that will come to Him, come to God through Jesus. Some people say, you know, you have to belong to our church if you're going to be saved. It's not true. Some say you have to be baptized by us if you're going to be saved. It's not true. You know, some will say, you know, just do the best you can, and when you get to the judgment, if you've done enough good, you'll be all right. It's not true. It's just not true. Do you know what Jesus said? The Bible says, rather, in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation. Do you know Jesus delivered you from the judgment to come? When you stand before God at the judgment, if you've been redeemed and saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus, there won't be a mark against you. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And He saves to the uttermost all that will come unto Him. He delivers you from bondage. He delivers you from the prison house of Satan. He delivers you from guilt. He delivers you from condemnation. He delivers you, my friend, from the judgment. From the judgment to come. And He saves you for all eternity. Saved. Saved by His power divine. He saves you from an eternity of torment. An eternity of torment. He saves to the uttermost. He'll save you from torment. The flames of hell will never touch you if you've been saved by God's grace. He saves from a torment in hell. He saves from an eternity of darkness. You know, the Bible describes hell as being a place of darkness. Place of darkness. But He saves you from that. He saves you from an eternity of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what He saves you from. Jesus saves. Jesus saves to the uttermost. He's the only one that can save. There's just one way. And if you come to God through Jesus Christ, asking Him to save you and forgive you, and trusting in Jesus and trusting what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for you, the Lord will forgive you and He will save you and He will give you the assurance in your heart that you're saved. He saves to the uttermost all that will come unto Him. There's a song, I'm not going to try to sing it. I've tried that and made a mess before, you know that. So I won't try that today. But that song, let me tell you about Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. Let me tell you about Jesus, how He saved my soul. Why He took away my burden and He took away the sorrow. Let me tell you about Jesus, how He saved my soul. Well, the songwriter said, I went to the altar and I knelt down to pray. And I felt the Holy Spirit coming down my way. Well, He took away that burden and He took away that sorrow. You know, salvation is a real experience. It's wonderful. Somebody said, I'm saved, but I don't remember nothing about when it happened. You better check. Better check. I'm sure there are a lot of people today that say they're saved and say they're Christians. They have no experience of ever being saved. I tell you, you can know. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can have joy in your heart. You can have peace with God. You can be free from condemnation. That's what the Lord does for you when He saves you. I want us to have a song, Brother Wayne. If you're here today, listen. Jesus saves. He saves to the uttermost. You don't have to live with fear. Do you know that perfect love casteth out all fear? Do you know that when you're saved, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to you. And you don't have to fear dying and going to hell anymore. You know, you can get up in the morning and go about your business, whatever it is, and have the assurance, if something happens to me today and I don't make it back home tonight, that I'll be in heaven with Jesus. And that's what it means to be saved to the uttermost. I don't know. I wish I could have done better with this. I hope you understand. You don't have to live in sin. And you don't have to live under condemnation. And you don't have to live worrying about dying and going to hell. You can receive forgiveness of sins that will clear you of all of that. He set me free. He set me free. Sister Sherry prayed a song a while ago, I'm free. I'm free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. No question about it. Free indeed. Free from sin. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. One of these days, you know, the Bible said we are going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And when we stand there, Jesus will open the book. Now, this is the picture I get. I don't know. I don't know. These may not be the details of it. But that's the picture I get. You come before the Lord. And He said, let me see if your name's in the book. You know why I say that? The Bible says at the great white throne judgment, all men are going to appear before the great white throne. And the books are going to be opened. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And whosoever's name is not found written in the book will be cast out into the lake of fire, which is the second death. When you stand before the Lord in judgment, there's just one thing. Is your name in the book? He puts your name in the book of life the very moment He gives you life. That very moment, your name is recorded in the book of life. Will you come to Jesus today? Why delay? Why put it off? Satan lies to people. He said, you're young, you got plenty of time. We don't know. We don't know. Jesus said, you can't come to me except my Father draws you. Do you feel that need today, that drawing from God to come to Jesus? Do you want to be free? Do you want to have eternal life? Will you come to Jesus today? Let's pray. Let's pray while we sing. You say, well, we can't do both. I can. And you can too. You can sing glory, hallelujah, I'm saved. And at the same time, in your heart, you can be say, oh, God, touch somebody's heart today. Oh, God, will you draw them by your Spirit? Will you help them to just surrender? Will you help them to come while we stand and while we sing?
161. 161. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today.
Is there one that'll come? Won't you start out this new year in a new way? Come to the Lord Jesus. Just give it all up to Him. Put your faith and trust in Him. You can get rid of that burden that you're carrying, that uneasiness, that fear, that trouble that you have to deal with every day and day by day. Give it to Jesus. Will you come today? Will you come? Will you come?
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today.
Help somebody.
Calling today. Jesus is calling. Is tenderly calling today.
4.
Jesus is pleading.
Do you hear His voice?
To His voice. Hear Him today.
Oh, He's a loving and compassionate Savior.
Today.
He wants to be your Savior. He wants to give you the greatest gift that could possibly be given to the human family.
Jesus is
May the Lord bless you. Anyone have anything you want to say? Anyone?